Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to know that God is here with us. It's a wonderful thing to be in His presence. We are going to worship and praise the Lord for a while tonight, but before we do that, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, Thy mercy, Thy grace, thanking Thee for Thy blessings, thanking Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee, to sing Thy praises. And I pray, O God, that Thou would truly inspire us this night to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Inspire us to truly give Thee our hearts, O God, for we know that Thou seekest such to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray, O God, that Thy presence would be here. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us here this night. Let Thy blessings be here. I pray that Thou would anoint this entire service. Let everything we do be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 64 tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Number 64.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
go to number 128 and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 128. Sing, I See the Lord, number 79.
Thank you. you, Jesus.
Praise God. You know, there's nothing quite like getting in the presence of the Lord and knowing that Jesus is right here with us. And there's just something about that name, isn't there? That mighty name of Jesus, that name above every name. There is no name greater, no power greater than that of our Lord Jesus. Let's go to number 22 and sing, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Number 22. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, fitting to now go to number 122 and sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Number 122. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes, that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. You know, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for our souls.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Let's go to number 90 and sing, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a rock I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Magnify the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So when we worship Him, He's right here with us in our midst. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee for all Thy help, for all Thy care towards us, for Thy enablement, for Thy sustaining power which has kept us. I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead us, continue to guide us, continue to direct us, O God. Show us our steps ahead and what we must do in these coming days. Lead us, O God, in Thy paths of righteousness. Help us to be a shining light in a lost and dying world. I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the sake of Thy mighty name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, sometimes a song will just pop into my head. And as we were singing that last chorus, there was a song that did indeed pop into my head, and I feel like we should sing it. It's in the hymnal. I need to Look up the number. It's number 251, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 251. Praise the Lord. We can trust in, a God we can believe in, a God we can lean on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise God.
Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, it feels wonderful to praise the Lord. And I just, you know, we just sang that song about leaning on Jesus, and that question that's been in my mind for years is, how do people live without Jesus? I never could see, I could never understand that. You know, we have that wonderful refuge, that tower. You know, no matter what the circumstances are, what, no matter how dark the night may be, we can call on Jesus. Amen. That little refuge, you know, that place where we find Him, you know, that place where His presence is. I'll tell you what, there's no substitute for it. And there's no other you could turn to like that at all. And, oh, it's wonderful to be able to worship Him and praise Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to pray and ask God to be here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Oh, God, where two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, you promised that you would be in their very midst. And here we are tonight, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. Oh, God, we love you, Lord God. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, for we know there is none like unto you, Lord. Oh, God, we know there is no other salvation. There is no other name, oh, Lord, like unto thy name, Lord. There is no other tower or refuge to which we could turn to, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and praise you, God. I pray, oh, Lord, that you be here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you'd use this service, Lord. Oh, God, to turn around lives. Oh, God, to change circumstances. God, oh, Lord, to get us all to that place where we need to be in you, Lord. Oh, God, to give us faith, Lord. Oh, God, faith to fight those fiery darts, oh, Lord, that are aimed at us, Lord. Oh, God, the victory that we need, Lord Jesus, to prevail, Lord. Oh, God. Cast down, oh Lord, imaginations and all those things that try to come upon us, Lord. Oh God, give us victory, Lord, here tonight. Oh God, let your presence come upon us, Lord. Let your touch be here, Lord. Oh God, we're poor and needy. Oh Lord, we need thee, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you be here in Jesus' name. That you'd move, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Oh God, and all, and I pray that, oh Lord, you give us ears to hear. Oh God, understanding that comes from thee, Lord Jesus, for what a privilege, Lord. We know, oh God, it's you who reveals yourself to us. And we just thank you, Lord. We've had this privilege, Lord. We've come to thee, Lord. We're here tonight, Lord, to worship you, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, that you use this message, Lord. Oh God, that you help us, oh Lord, oh God, to climb to that higher ground. Oh, Lord, that place where thou art. Oh, Lord, that place where thy presence dwells. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It just feels so good to worship the Lord. Just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Those times in his presence. I know we don't really comprehend it, you know. How we're going before the throne of the Almighty One. I'll tell you, wow, someday we're going to see Him and we're going to realize just a little bit better than we do now. But oh, wow, what a, you know, what a privilege we have to gather even, to be here tonight. I just don't know what everybody's excuse is who's not here or, you know, that could be here. Oh, God knows, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to miss it. I wouldn't want to miss these times of worship and praise to our God. There's just something about it, you know. Oh, wow, when we give a little bit to the Lord, he gives us double, triple, quadruple, I don't know. It just goes on and on because there's so much of God. And oh, wow, there's always more to receive. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I did start in the book of Ephesians last week, and by his grace we're going to continue there, first chapter of Ephesians here, and oh, what a wonderful thing it is, you know. As we said, Paul was directing this chapter to those particular people in the book of in the city of Ephesus, but he also mentioned to the faithful in Christ Jesus, the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And you know, he just went on to, you know, bring forth blessings and talk about, you know, the blessings that come from our God who blesses us in those spiritual places with Christ Jesus. which is a wonderful thing, and you know, the privilege of being chosen from Him from the foundation of the world. And you know, it's that one day we can stand before Him holy and without blame. And the fact that He's predestinated us unto the adoption of His children. I know we don't really grasp it fully at this moment, but that was according to His good pleasure and His will. And then, you know, taking our lives, such as we are, oh my, such as we are, and making us accepted in the beloved. I tell you what, that's quite a process to get us in that place where we could be accepted by Almighty God. But He's working on us. Oh yes, and you know, it's, you know, after we've suffered here a while, oh God, make us perfect. You know, He knows how to establish us and to strengthen us and to settle us. Oh, and to get us to that place where we're grounded in the truth and where, oh, we have strength to stand the test of time. Oh yes, and where that word is rooted in our hearts, and so we're established in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful thing it is. We know that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, we can never thank God enough for that. Oh yes, and then, oh, all that wisdom and prudence that abounds toward His children. He's even made us known, made known unto us the mystery of His will, that in the fullness of the time the Gentiles will be gathered unto Christ Jesus, which is a wonderful thing. The fullness of the time, that, you know, it wouldn't be just a Jewish world, but there would be another people that would be called to the glorious gospel. And that was hidden. That was hidden, but that was in the plan and purpose of God. And so it happened, amen. And so it is tonight that we have access to the throne of grace, amen. Praise the Lord. So we have been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things, and is after the counsel of His own will. It's not as we might think or desire even, but it's according to His plan, His purpose. God seeing all things and knowing all things and being able to put things in proper order. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's none like that at all that would know what is best and how to get us to that place. And oh, how to mold us and shape us and turn us around. And praise the Lord, you know. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. But after we heard that word of truth, that gospel of our salvation, oh, after we believed, that Holy Ghost came in. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, the promise of the Father that He said He would send. Oh, that we would be endued with power from on high. It tells us in the 14th verse of Ephesians 1 that that is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. What an exciting thought that is, because it's a down payment. He's purchased us, He's redeemed us, and he's put down the earnest for our inheritance, so that one day it's going to be ours. We can stand fast and hold tight to the words and principles of God. Praise the Lord, but we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to the praise of His glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 15, and I think this is where I left off. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Oh, this church at Ephesus was on the heart of Paul, and you know, he couldn't help but give thanks for them and oh yes, to continuously mention them in his prayers. And what a wonderful opportunity that is. Oh yes, I know how it is. It just, you know, as you live your life, you know, you go throughout your day, God puts people on our hearts, you know, just out of the blue, you know, some name perhaps comes to mind, and thank the Lord, we can bring that person to the Lord. And sometimes maybe, you know, there's, you know, you can feel some kind of need or, you know, something maybe a little more direct. But that's our Lord working in our life. And that's a wonderful opportunity that we have, that we can share in this glorious privilege of bringing our loved ones, our friends, those in need, maybe people we don't even know, to the throne of grace. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And here I would just like to talk about that spirit of wisdom. I want to turn back just a little bit to 1 Corinthians here. It talks about the wisdom that comes from God. Oh, yes, there is that wisdom of man. But that's not the wisdom of God by any means. And it says that the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh, it tells us in 1 Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I don't care how many degrees this individual may have or how esteemed they may be as being wise and prudent. It is nothing to compare with the wisdom of God. In fact, it may be completely contrary to the ways of God. And it's going to be destroyed, it tells us in this verse. It's going to be brought to nothing. It doesn't mean a thing. The only wisdom that really matters is the wisdom that comes from God.
Amen.
So it says in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Oh, yes. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Again, you're not going to find God by going to the university and taking those courses. That's not how you find God. I mean, it might be by chance, you know, you'd meet somebody who would lead you that way, or something would, you know, poke up, but it's not all because of their materials. It would be because of the mercy of God somehow intervening in a life. But it's the world by wisdom doesn't know God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, man, praise the Lord. You know, things that seem contrary to the world, things that seem foolish to the world, but it pleases God. It's God's way. And what a wonderful thing. Amen. For it says the Jews require a sign. And you know, through the Gospels, we see that they were looking for a sign. But Jesus said, you know, he wasn't going to give them any sign except the sign of Jonah. Oh, that was the only sign he was going to give them, because it's an evil and a rebellious generation that seeks after a sign, adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Jesus wasn't going to give them a sign except the sign that had already been given, that Jonah had been in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights, and so would the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, Paul went on to say in the next chapter that his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, verse 4 there in chapter 2, but rather it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, yes. says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then it talks in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I know I was having a conversation with Brother Matthew the other day, and we were talking about how while Jesus was on the cross, how that cry began to change. You know, at first, you know, they wanted to crucify Jesus, you know. The Jewish people at that moment were so carried away by the devils were interacting within them, and you know, they had rather have Jesus crucified than an evil man named Barabbas. They would rather, and then they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, even though Pilate, the governor, could see no fault in him. But then on the cross, I believe those devils began to see that something was happening as the Lord hung on that cross. Oh yes, they began to see something glorious was beginning to happen. So they began to cry, come down from that cross. Oh, they began to, you know, make fun and just mock, and you know, oh, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. But it was for that reason that Jesus came into this world. Oh yes, he knew he was going to give his life for many, a ransom for many. He knew what was going to happen. And thank God it was a hidden mystery at the first. Oh yes, the princes of this world didn't realize it. They didn't understand it at the first, because it tells us here in 1 Corinthians, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, but praise the Lord, there was a price that had to be paid to buy us, to redeem us, to set us free from sin. And our Lord paid that price. What a wonderful gift we've been given. And it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh yes, there's so much beyond us. There is an inheritance for God's people. Yes, eye hath not seen it, ear hath not heard it. It's not entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Reveals it to his people. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He puts his Spirit within us. Oh, which is beyond the wisdom of man. It is beyond the natural spirit. It's the eternal Spirit of God that searches out all things, even the deep things of God. Tells us, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him. That's all we can know of ourselves, the things that are within us. But it says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So when he interacts in our lives, when he puts his Spirit within us, we can begin to know the things that are from heaven. Those things that are, you know, are a mystery to the world, the hidden wisdom of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And then, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a profound thought. He puts his spirit within us so that we can have his mind, as it says in Philippians, the second chapter, that the mind that was in Christ indwell in you. I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. But that's what we are trying to obtain, the mind of Christ, so that we might know those things that are spiritually discerned, that we might know the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. But that's the wisdom of God, and how contrary it is to the wisdom of men. So it tells us again in Ephesians, the first chapter, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm remembering there when Jesus was asking in the 16th chapter of Matthew, whom do men say that I am? And, you know, the answer was, well, some of them, you know, they think you're, you know, Elijah, some John the Baptist, maybe Jeremiah, you know, maybe Isaiah, one of those prophets. But Jesus asked them, but whom say ye that I am? And I love how it was revealed to Peter. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' reply to that was, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. These spiritual things are not given to just anybody, but it's given to the children of God, in whom God puts his spirit. And Peter was able to say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, because it was revealed to him by God Almighty. And what a wonderful thing that is, to know who Jesus is and be able, oh yes, to say that he is our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And then in the 10th chapter of Luke, again, the 10th chapter, Jesus said in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then it says in verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. See, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Yes, to reveal the things that need to be known by those that discern because of the mercy of God. And so it says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. Oh, praise the Lord. He gives that knowledge to his children. And then in verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. See, it's all by revelation. A lot of people don't get it. They don't see it. They don't understand it because it has not been revealed to them. And it tells us in verse 23, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Oh, we are so privileged to be in this time period when the fullness of the time had come. Oh, yes, when it's been revealed to us that the Lord has come into the world. Oh, yes, and that He took our sins upon that cross. Oh, yes, and He gave up that ghost on that cross so that we might receive of His Spirit. We might receive of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, and that we might be led, we might be instructed by that Almighty One. Oh, by the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our hearts, the earnest of our inheritance. So as it tells us in Ephesians, the first chapter, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Oh, the wonderful things that He's reserved for His people, the insights. Oh, yes. And the riches of His glory that, oh, yes, are waiting for those that love Him. That hope of our calling that one day, yes, we will reign with Him. We will be with Him. We will spend eternity with Him in His presence. And that's a wonderful hope, oh yes, that no man can take away. And it tells us in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Oh, the greatness of His power to usward who believe. Oh yes, He wrought it in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Oh, praise the Lord. We sang those wonderful songs about the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, there is no name like that name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come and beyond that. It says, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That church that is holy and without blemish, as it tells us in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. But here it is. Oh, Jesus ascended after His work here on earth was done. Oh, yes. And oh, He was brought to that place. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, yes, that's a wonderful thing. You know, it tells us here, you know, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did God do? He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. What a wonderful thing. Almighty God coming to this earth, not as a great one, not as somebody that would be highly known and thought of, not of somebody of great reputation at all, but He came to this world in the form of a servant. Oh, unknown. And not accepted very well at all. And was made in the likeness of man. Oh, what a marvel. You know that God Almighty would put himself in the form of man, the form of a servant, and come to this world to save us from our sins. Yes, it says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, God Almighty, found on this earth in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Beyond that, you know, enough to be just a man, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, yes, he took upon himself, all those sins that, we had all so terribly done, you know, all those dreadful things that were in our path, those things, that we had, no, hardly any control over when we were in our sins. But he humbled himself, Jesus Christ, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, bearing our sins, bearing our iniquities, taking it upon himself. What a wonderful Savior we have. Praise the Lord. And so it tells us back in Ephesians, the first chapter, after all this, he ascended far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Oh, yes. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then verse 22 is curious. It says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. If we turn to Psalms, the 8th chapter, we can glean a little bit from that. We look at Psalms 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? And that's what God Almighty did. He was mindful of human beings. As wretched and as miserable and as pathetic as we were. And the son of man that thou visitest him. Oh yes, God putting on flesh and coming to this world. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Oh yes, not even esteemed as highly as the angels in his human form. But it says in verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Oh, there was something that was going to be gained from all of this. He was going to have dominion over all the works of his hands, all things being put under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, that wonderful one who has set his glory above the heavens. It tells us in the first verse. But all things will be put under the feet of Jesus Christ. And if we want to glean a little bit more, let's also now turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we'll look at verse 19, where Paul writes and says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I'm sorry, you know, a lot of people, that's the only hope they have. They think after this life is over, it's all over. There's nothing more. But it's a miserable thought, isn't it? Oh, it's a miserable thought. And Paul said, likewise, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we know that Christ is sometimes called the second Adam. Oh yes, that first Adam discovered what sin was all about. And oh, death was brought into this world because of sin. And thus, as in Adam, all die. That's just the course of events. You know, we're born into this world and one day we die. But Jesus Christ came. Oh yes, that we could all be made alive, which is a wonderful hope. Oh, a wonderful expectation to have. So it says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So it tells us a little later in this chapter, if we want to just glance at verse 50 for a moment, it tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And Paul talked about this mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Okay, there's the ultimate. When death is swallowed up in victory.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So it tells us, going back to verse 23 in this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So at that moment, oh yes, you know that the soul goes to be on with the Lord, but the body goes into the grave and it's awaiting the resurrection at his coming. But it talks about something in verse 24, then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So I'll tell you what it looks like is happening here. That point when finally all things are done away with, they're subdued, they're conquered at that moment, and death is conquered, then there's no more need for the office of the Son. But because the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is done, and so that all things are therefore put under his feet. And you know, when we see him, we're going to see him as he is. Oh yes, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, we're going to see him as the great I Am. Oh, it's a marvel. You know, I was reflecting on this. And back, in the days of Moses, there, when Moses was up there on Mount Sinai with God. And it wasn't such a wonderful moment there in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, because while Moses was up on the mountain, we know that the children of Israel didn't do very well. Oh, yes, with the help of Aaron and all, they had made themselves a calf, and they were worshiping that calf. They had already turned away from the living God. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't an easy thing to bear. In fact, it was so grievous that even God talked about blotting them out and making a people for Moses. But Moses intervened for the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, and God had mercy on them. But after that, Moses there, talking to the Lord in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, he asked God if he found grace in his sight, that he might know him, and he might know his name, all that sort of thing. And God said, into his decree and his desire to see his glory, God said in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But God told Moses, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You couldn't look on the face of God and live. And it's no marvel when Jesus was transfigured in the 17th chapter of Matthew. It tells us that his face shone like the sun when they saw that transfiguration. And that was seeing God in his glory as he was transformed, as he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were getting a glimpse of that. But here, Moses was beseeching God, and God told him, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. You couldn't look on God's face and live. Now I'm going someplace with this. And it's amazing when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Oh, the skin of his face shone so brilliantly that the people couldn't bear to look at it. Why? He'd been in the presence of God. Oh, yes, the light of God was all over him, and that was reflected on his face. And they were afraid because his face shone so brilliantly, so brightly, and they were afraid, oh, yes, to look upon him and to come nigh unto him. And he had to put a veil on his face because it just was so brilliant. He'd been in God's presence. And whenever, he spoke to the Lord and came down and talk to the people, he had to put that veil upon his face because of the glory of God that came forth, that presence of the Lord that showed on his face because he had been in God's presence. But so it is. Oh, they couldn't look on the face of God and live. But I tell you what, there's these times when we're going to be transformed. And as I said, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, they caught a glimpse of Jesus. As he's coming to reign and to rule, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I'll tell you, Oh, there's a day when we are going to be changed, as we read in 1 Corinthians, that 15th chapter. Oh, a day when this incorruptible body, this corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to, oh boy, be transformed completely and entirely at that moment. Oh, this mortal shall put on immortality. And we're going to see Him as He is, as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh yes, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. We're going to see God. We're going to see Him as He is. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in the book of Revelation. We could go there. Way at the end here. Chapter 22. And here's God. Oh, showing John those things. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And remember now, I said, God had told Moses, no man can look at my face and live. But here we are. Oh, when we're truly transformed. Oh, when this mortal body has put on immortality. Oh, where we're there in the presence of the Lord. That place where there's no more curse. It says in verse 4, Revelation 22, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to see His face. Oh, yes, in that place where there's no night and there's no need for a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the hope that we have within us. Oh, the hope that He has put within our very being. One day we're going to see His face, and how His name is going to be written in our foreheads. Oh yes, this world may take on the name of the Antichrist. Oh yes, in so many ways He's already accepted in hearts and lives. You can see His markings all over their countenance and all over their face, all the disfigurations of their bodies. Oh yes, and the way they think, the way they talk, it all shows that they've embraced Antichrist. But praise the Lord, they're the people of God. Oh yes, and He puts His seal on His people. Oh yes, He puts His name in our foreheads. We go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts His name on our foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord. And one day, yes, when all of this is over and God has been, Jesus has been accepted at that point, because, oh, it's finished. The work of Calvary is finished. His redeemed have been brought in. And there's no more sacrifice for sin. It's all over, complete. And we're there in His presence. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to see His face. And His name is going to be written on our foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we have to look forward to. What a wonderful joy. Praise the Lord. So here it is in Ephesians, again, verse 20. Excuse me, I turned too many pages here. It's, let's do 21 again. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, that wonderful, glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. But we're going to see him as it is, as he is. You know, I can't explain it all now, but all I know is we're the fullness of the Godhead that dwelleth in Christ Jesus. We're going to behold it somehow, and we're going to be able to look upon him, and forever we're going to be in his presence. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, joyful thought. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And he is ahead, oh yes, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Praise God. Let's continue a bit into chapter 2 here of Ephesians. And this chapter tells us how we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. The first verse says, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin." Oh, we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Oh yes, if we continue in our trespasses and sins, the only thing we have to look forward to is death. Eternal death, that is. But there was one who made us alive, who quickened us, who put his spirit within us. And the thing that I see as I was going through this chapter is, you know, it wasn't anything special that we did of ourselves. We were just out there, you know, just like human beings are, and doing our own thing, walking our own course, following our own thoughts. But somehow, God, in his mercy, in his grace, you know, called us unto repentance. He quickeneth us so that we could be made alive. Oh, yes, that we who had been dead in those trespasses and sins could be made alive by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it says in verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." But we were all out there walking to the, you know, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you know, the dominions, the evil spirits that influence mankind, that work and make themselves known in various ways, or maybe unknown, but still greatly influence that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh yes, we see of the influence of evil out there, the way people think, the way they talk, the way they dress, all of that. Oh, it's because they're walking according to the course of this world. They don't know the living Savior. They haven't been transformed by the renewing of their mind. They don't know Jesus Christ. And it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." Oh, we're all out there. I'll tell you what, there's no exceptions. We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. And conversation goes beyond just what we say, but our whole conduct, our whole way of life, all of that. It was in times past, it was in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, we were all doomed. We were all headed toward hell. And I remember, I just always thank God that, oh wow, somehow he found me when I was young, because I remember well enough how horrible it was to be without the Lord. You know, it's wonderful that my mother and dad knew the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that wouldn't save me. I had to get to that place myself where I could cry out to God. You know, just because my mother and dad were Christians didn't make me one. Maybe gave me a little advantage in some sense that I, you know, at least had, you know, knowledge of the Word of God somewhat, and you could see, you know, their godly examples and all that sort of thing, but I was still out there, and I remember, you know, thinking, you know, I was going to be like, you know, that sinner person out there when I grew up, you know. I was going to, you know, well, I don't even want to tell you what I had thought in my mind. But praise the Lord. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, called us. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh yeah, oh, we were all out there doing those rotten things and thinking those rotten thoughts, having those terrible ambitions out there in the world. But praise the Lord, oh, when we were yet without strength, oh, when we were without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. What a wonderful gift we've been given. It tells us in Romans 5, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing that we could do to deserve this. Oh, praise the Lord. And much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, that eternal damnation, that wrath that was due us before we had given our lives to the Lord. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, that love that he commended toward us, that yet, while we were sinners, he died for us. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. We had no strength of our own, but he died for the ungodly. And so it tells us here in Ephesians 2, verse 5 again, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, yes. And just turning just for a moment here to Colossians, just Philippians and then Colossians here, short little books. Right after Ephesians here, if we go to the second chapter, he tells us in verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, yes, when we came to him in repentance, it equated circumcision. That circumcision made without hands. In the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. That means turning our life over to the Lord in repentance. And then, oh, yes, as he was getting our attention, in verse 12 it says in Colossians, the second chapter here, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, what a gift we've been given. We were so dead in our sins, but we died out to all of that. Praise the Lord. And we went down in the waters of baptism, which means that we were buried with him and we came up with the gift of the Holy Ghost to be received, if not right then, but that promise upon our very heart and soul. So we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. That faith, oh, that raised, oh, Christ from the dead, that operation of faith that raised him from the dead comes to dwell in our very being, that we might be quickened by him and walk in newness of life. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity again we've been given. And so, by grace ye are saved, it tells us in Ephesians 2. Verse 6 tells us, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, when we worship the Lord and we begin to feel his presence and we realize that he is here in our very midst. He's walking among us and we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. His spirit, his anointing, his power is here in our very midst. And it tells us in verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. All the things that he has prepared for them that love us, that love him. Oh, the wonderful things, the gifts that he has given his people, the expectations that we could have. They go and lean towards eternal life, yes. Then it tells us in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I see verse 10 here. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, there was nothing that we could do to obtain our salvation. It was by his grace. Somehow, you know, again, as it describes in this chapter, how we were just, you know, like others that are out there right now walking according to the course of this world, having their conversation, you know, in the lust of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of their flesh and of their mind. We were like that. But the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful grace of God that called to us and helped us to see how wretched and poor and miserable we were and how needy we were, that we needed the living God, that we needed his salvation, that grace by which we are saved through faith. That's not of ourselves, but strictly the gift of God. Not of works. There was nothing we could do. You know, we're not on some kind of scale where, you know, if our good outweighs a bad, then, you know, we're going to be just fine. No, it's not like Masonic doctrine at all. Nothing like that. But it tells us in verse 10, we are his workmanship. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's because of what he did. And it says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, he takes our lives, such as we were, and begins to reshape us, remake us, begins to create a new man within us. And it's all the works of God. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh yes, the Spirit of God came upon the world that then was, without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of the Lord began to do His creative work. And all at once there was light. And then all the other works of God began to follow as God was putting it forth and creating this world. But so it is with us. We were without God. We were without hope in this world. Our lives were empty. They were void. They were without real purpose and meaning. Oh, we might have had goals and ambitions and this is and that, but, you know, they didn't lead anywhere. They were just temporal things. But God began to show Himself to us. Somehow He began to reveal Himself to us. Somehow we began to see and understand. And we could see that we were sinners in need of His mercy. Oh, in need of His grace. And all at once, oh, praise the Lord, He began to work in us. He began to call us. And we began to see and understand things that were concealed from us before. We began to have some revelation that was given to us by Almighty God that flesh and blood had not revealed, but our Father which is in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, oh God, in His mercy. And you know, we can all look back and see how it's here and there. It's, you know, line upon line. It's, you know, it's not an automatic thing that, oh, wow, we're in the image of God. It's quite an effort. But it's God working in us, the hope of glory. And it's His workmanship. Oh, the Lord working in us and creating. To create means to take from nothing. And that's how we were without the Lord. We were nothing. We had emptiness. We had void. You know, we were in despair. We were hopeless. You know, we had no real purpose. There was no real plan. It was all ugly and barren. And we, you know, we just, you know, we're going to live and die. But the Lord began to work in us. And, oh, I just see the wonder of it all. As He took us, and why us? You know, we ask that a lot of times. Why us? You know, why me? But here we are tonight because of His saving mercy. Because one day He began to talk to our hearts. He began to call us by our name. And we began to see and understand and get a little glimpse here and get a little glimpse there. And maybe, you know, we didn't really know very much. And, you know, we began to do what we could do and probably walking in a whole bunch of ignorance. But yet, you know, He kept on working on our hearts and tugging at us and, oh, shifting us around and remodeling us and everything else so that we could be His workmanship, so we could be His creation unto good works. Oh, praise the Lord. It's not by any works that we have done. Oh, we can't boast. There's nothing that we could boast of ourselves at all, because it's by His grace, His mercy, that He called us out of the world and, oh, put understanding somehow within our minds so that we could comprehend the things of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And then beyond that, oh, the plan of Jesus, the plan of God, that He would put His Spirit within us. Oh, that He would reveal Himself to us. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful plan, you know, that, oh, He that was in the world, who could not stay in this world for any long length of time, but yet He would send the Comforter. He would come back to us. As the Holy Ghost, He would put His Spirit within our very beings. Oh, yes, that we might be led by His Spirit, that we might be His sons and daughters, that we might be joint heirs with Christ, that we might know Him as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful plan. We have been made alive in Christ. Oh, we who were dead in our trespasses and sins, He hath quickened us. Oh, He made us alive. Oh, yes, so that we, someday could forever be with the Lord. Oh, yes, so we could forever be in His presence. And so one day, yes, we're going to see His face. And we're going to live. We're going to live in His presence. And we're going to know Him as He is. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege we have. Oh, praise the Lord. We're made alive in the Lord Jesus. And oh, we're made to sit together in heavenly places. Oh, yes, as we worship Him, as we praise Him, His presence comes down and He begins to fill, oh, yes, our very being with His Spirit, oh, with His power, with His might, with His hopes, with His expectations that are in Christ. Oh, yes, and we might be joint heirs with Him, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you took our lives as empty and worthless as they were and made something. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, God, for the unspeakable gift. Oh, Lord, that you give it unto us, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we can, oh, Lord, be in thy presence and know thee as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how can we not praise him? How can we not praise him when we've been redeemed, when he took our lives such as they were and, oh, gave us something so beyond, oh, what mortal man could ever expect. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to go to number 131 in the chorus book and sing What a Day That Will Be. Number 131. What a day.